Lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah. I'm reading from the 40th chapter, verses 21 through 31. Listen for the word of our Lord. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage was probably written for the exiles who had been or would have been, it depends on where he started writing this, end up losing their homes and their city and everything, and they would be taken far away. The devastating siege of the Babylonian army against Jerusalem was very devastating and cruel. Now, whether he wrote this before the end came or whether it was after they had already taken everyone back to Babylon, the prophet is experiencing with the people this disaster of a catastrophic magnitude. The people that Isaiah was originally speaking to had seen their entire way of life destroyed, their homes, their livelihoods, and even their place of worship. The very temple of God, the earthly home of God, was destroyed and razed to the ground. Hearers of this then had to be thinking, perhaps the God of the Babylonians is more powerful than ours. Perhaps our God just does not like us anymore. Perhaps God has deserted us because of our past sins. Perhaps our sins have been so mighty that God has shunned us and pushed us off like those who were swept away in the flood when Noah was on the ark. For some of us today who watched a basketball game yesterday, we feel that same way in a certain way, do we not? We're used to winning. We got too used to it very quickly. And then when it isn't, we wonder, what did we do wrong? What could we have done better? Is this the beginning of the end of all the fun? Bless you. Not making trite of this at all, because the pain and suffering of people is very, very real. People who are in very difficult places, like the people were in Israel, like the people who are in the Ukraine, like the people in other war-torn areas. People look up to the skies and say, why? Why? Why me? Why us? What did we do? They have forgotten all that they have ever been taught about God. They have forgotten all that they had ever experienced with God, the feelings that they had as God took care of them, gave them families, food. It is the human way. When things go bad for us, we forget. We get a severe loss of memory. We can't even begin to think why God is no longer with us. We come with this theological amnesia. We forget that God is speaking to us constantly. And even more so when things are bad. God is there, speaking, waiting. Waiting for us to listen. Waiting for us to look to God and cry out. Look to God and say, "Forgive us for whatever we have done wrong." We forget how God has spoken to us in the past. How God has blessed us in the past. In the hard times, so often we scramble and say, "God has deserted me and left me," and we forget every wonderful thing that has ever happened in our lives. All the things that we know God was doing for us. We ought to know that, those of us who live in this place. It's a beautiful place. For us older folks who get to watch students come and go, we have the joy of watching young men grow up and become really good men. This is a blessing beyond all blessings. To be called to a place to help others grow up and be better. To proclaim the word of God to people who may not have ever heard it. Perhaps in their household that was not what was there, but here we have that, a gift. But like the people of Israel so long ago, in times when things go bad, we forget all of that great things that God has done for us. And we look to the skies and say, "Why? Why us?" To help this amnesia to go away, Isaiah begins by reminding them of what God has done and God's power to do it. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth nothing." Yes, things are bad. But have you forgotten everything? The prophet says, in those times you need to remember what God has done for you in the past. The love that God has had for you and still has for you. The first thing we learn here about our relationship with God as the people of God is that our faith begins not in our own ability to believe, but rather our ability to remember what God has done throughout the ages. What God has done for not just all humanity, but for us particularly in our walk in this life. When times are tough and difficult, the first thing that we have to do is to remember all of the good things that God has done for us in our lives and all of humanity throughout forever. That's where your faith is bolstered. That's where our faith is lifted up. When we come to understand our relationship with God, we must remember that it is God who loved us first. God loved us first, and God has proved over the years the height and depth of his love by continually rescuing his people. Yes, there are hard times. Little bad afternoons on the basketball court. Maybe worse. Illness and death. But God is still there. God is always there. And he has provided and proved over the years the height and depth of his love by continually rescuing his people. God loves us, and he has shown it throughout the years, the centuries, the millennium. If you remember in this scripture passage from Mark that we heard earlier, it says in that lesson, we hear of Jesus showing that love on a personal level. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and he took her hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Jesus healed her. Jesus loved her. And then once made well, she served. A great model for us in life. When we are ill, when we are not well, when we go to our God and seek health and well-being, when we seek his closeness, and God heals us, then we go forth to proclaim that joy of being healed once again. The second thing we learn from this scripture, or at least perhaps we should remember, is indeed that God is all-powerful. That there is no problem too big for God, and that we need to trust that power. Even in the worst of times, when things aren't going the way we want them to, when things seem like they're not working out, that is exactly when we should slow down and wait on God. We need not fret over our lives and what is happening. Nothing is too big for God. When we try to handle our own lives, only calling God when we fail, we show that we do not trust God. We don't trust God with our lives, with the lives of our loved ones around us. We trust God not at all when we just faint and think that we have been deserted. Unfortunately, too often we don't do what we should do. We don't like to wait. First off, waiting is not the American way. The American way is to go out, conquer, turn it into what I need it to be. Let's go fix what I want fixed. And see, to do that, we only want God when we want him there. We don't want him around for the rest of the time. Say, God, fix this for me. And you fixed it, great, go on, I'll take care of the rest of it. That is not what God seeks for us. God seeks a continuing, constant relationship with God's people. Not somebody that comes and puts out the fires that we have built up in our own lives. The best thing is not to have to put them out because they never get started. We too often treat God like the person who will bail us out of jail whenever that happens. And we promise every time we get bailed out, oh, I won't let this happen again. And God said, if you would be still and listen, you wouldn't have ever been here at all. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. It gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. The more we come to God, expressing our powerlessness, the more God gets to show us His powerfulness. God is there, ready to hear us, but we need to trust God. And we need to learn to wait. Now, I'm sure as any self-help book that you ever get will not say, wait. They won't ever tell you to wait on the Lord. They will tell you to have a to-do list and to do that to-do list every day and work that list and do it and you'll be really great. And all of that is fine as long as you're learning and waiting on God's time for whatever happens. If we wait on God, then God surely lifts us up to where we need to be. Now that doesn't mean that we stand around and do nothing all day long, just waiting. God, just make it all go away and let it be fine. No, there are things that we are to do. If we actively remember the first two things we talked about, we should be working on those and trusting God and remembering God's power and what He has done in the past and how much He loves us and spending some time returning that love to God. If we remember what God has done and for God's people in the past, then we gain a stronger and stronger faith that is built on what God has done and will do. God does not bring us here to leave us wandering in the wilderness. If you are wandering in the wilderness, especially when you are wandering in the wilderness, turn your sights to God and open your ears to nothing else but God's voice. And in that wilderness, you will find a blessed and great life. Like so many people in the Bible, they listened to God and they went to places that they thought would, this is ridiculous. And yet, every time, God brought them through and made their lives so much better than they could have ever imagined. So remember God's love for you. Remember God's strength to overcome everything so that you can open your heart and surrender to God's love and strength. And wait for God and the amazing things that He has planned for each and every one of us. We are not forgotten. We are not defeated. Just waiting for God's strength to shine in our lives so that we can proclaim it and help others find the very good life that God has waiting for them. I give thanks to God and pray that I, like you, will be able to wait on God.